Bob Hope was one of the great comedians of the last century. And as Bob Hope was getting along in age, he commented that he had started reading some. And he commented that he'd been reading some things and found some astonishing discoveries. He said, "I found out through reading that today my heart beat over 103,000 times. That my blood traveled 168 million miles. By reading, I learned that today I breathed 23,400 times and I inhaled 438 cubic feet of air, ate 3 pounds of food, and drank 2.9 pounds of liquid." He said, "I perspired 1.43 pints, gave off 85.3 degrees of heat, generated 450 tons of energy, and I spoke 4,800 words. I moved 750 major muscle groups, and I exercised 7 million brain cells in my brain. It is no wonder I'm tired all the time." Seriously, though, Augustine once said that people travel at the height of mountains to see the beauty and the grandeur. They are enamored by the huge waves of sea and the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean itself, and at the circular motion of the stars as they pass themselves. And then sometimes we don't even acknowledge the beauty and grandeur of life itself and our own human bodies. Augustine was right. Most of us don't realize how intricate and wondrous our bodies are. We've all studied human anatomy. We've heard a lot about all that the human body does. There are a couple of things that I found new, though. For instance, in a square inch of skin, you would find 20 blood vessels, 65 muscles, 78 nerves, 78 sensors for heat, 13 for cold, 160 for pressure, 650 sweat glands, 1,300 nerve findings, and 19,500 cells. No wonder I hurt. Your brain, for instance, weighs about 3 pounds, but stores 100 trillion bits of information over the course of 70 years. That's coming close for some. That storage capacity is roughly equal to 500,000 sets of Encyclopedias Britannica that, if stacked, would stretch 442 miles. Your brain does all of this and uses less power than a 100-watt light bulb. And now with LED, probably 5 watts. Your brain is serviced by about 45 miles of nerves that send impulses through your body as rapidly as 325 miles per hour. And then we talk about ears. I don't have much hearing anymore. But God created all of us, and if you think about it, a piano has 88 keys. But each of your ears has a keyboard with 1,500 keys that are so finely tuned that you can hear blood running through your vessels. Your eyes are capable of seeing a small candle flame from 30 miles away on a clear, dark night and can distinguish among more than 300,000 different color variations. No wonder David wrote, "I praise you, O God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." Now, I'm sure that David did not understand all the things that I just told you about, nor what Bob Hope read about. But out there in that pasture land with these sheep staring at the night, understanding the miraculous life that he had, and also all the things around him, he figured out that he was wonderfully made. In fact, he said, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." For you see, David was so impressed with the wonder of God's gift of life that he spoke of being woven together. And here he was using the imagery of a craftsman who skillfully weaves a beautiful and colorful tapestry. What David is really saying is, "Wow, I didn't just happen. I'm not an accident. I have value and I have worth." Now, you might remember that David realized that God gave his life value. It was God who gave him worth. And without God in his life, he felt he had no value. I want to tell you that in America, our society is progressively moving from religious liberty, religiously influenced morals, and God from the public square, and forcing laws upon us that contradict our scriptures. More than that, people who hold biblical beliefs are being marginalized, discounted, and in some cases even punished. Biblical truths and long-held beliefs have been challenged by the evolutionary teaching that we have in our society and also with secularism. It's a fact that some think more of endangered species than they do of a human life. And when this type of thinking takes hold, a society begins to be governed by a concept known as utilitarianism. And utilitarianism is the belief that people are as valuable as they are useful. If people cease to be useful, they cease to be valuable. There is a leadership and management exercise that many of you may have taken as you're in your workplaces. It was based on the following concept: that a nuclear holocaust occurred and you are one of the 10 people that was held up in a bomb shelter and have survived this terrible holocaust. There is not enough food for more than 5 people to be able to survive until they could raise crops to eat. So only 5 people are going to be allowed to be a part of the chosen few that will be allowed to live. And you have to decide who will live and who will die. You are given their occupations: a male doctor, a male policeman, a woman of childbearing age, her son, a baby girl, a grandmother, a carpenter, a middle-aged woman shop owner, a man with learning disabilities, and a woman teacher. The goal of this game was supposedly to get the student to reveal how useful they thought each person would be in the struggle of survival that would follow. That would be a difficult challenge: usefulness as opposed to valuableness. It would be difficult because the exercise did not take into consideration about how God might use even the weakest of the group to make the greatest impact. He's done this throughout history. Why wouldn't he do it in this circumstance? You see, God determines the contribution of every individual who allows him to have his way in their lives. The Bible says all of mankind has been made in God's image. And our constitution of this great nation says that all are created equal. You see, to God, all human life has value. Our lives are a gift from God, and only you have your kind of abilities. Only you have your kind of skills. But most have underestimated the potential that God has built into you as a person. Now, there are some who might say, yeah, I understand that scriptures teach that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but you know, I don't really feel so valuable. I really don't know if in this gift exchange of life, if I really got such a great gift. I mean, look at me. I'm too old, too poor. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not, and you fill in the blank. I don't believe I have the abilities or skills that are going to make a great difference in this life. I feel shortchanged. I understand that kind of thinking if you're a utilitarian. I feel shortchanged sometimes is the echo of many. I mean, some of us are old and some of us are weak and some are intellectually challenged, but you know, that kind of thinking fails to take into account that our value does not depend upon our usefulness. It does not depend upon our strengths. Our values and how valuable we are depends upon our Creator. Our worth is increased in direct relationship to how we allow God to use us. You see, God says in His Word that when He wants something done, it's going to be done. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29 says. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify things that are, so that no one can boast before Him. That is a mouthful. And we might also remember that some of the greatest heroes of Scripture were flawed. until God demonstrated his will and work in their lives. For instance, Jacob was a liar. Miriam was a bigot and a gossip. Moses stuttered. King David had an affair and was a murderer. The prophet Amos was a common laborer. Elijah suffered from depression. Naomi was a widow. Abraham was way too old. Timothy had ulcers, and Thomas was a doubter. And Peter was afraid of death. And Lazarus? Well, he was dead. If God could do great things with men and women like these, what do you think he could do with you? The difference is these heroes of our faith allowed God to empower them, to give them the strength, the knowledge, the abilities that they didn't have, to do a miracle in their lives that others might know that it was God, not them. Here's a story for you. Have you ever bought a gift for a child at Christmas and it didn't work? I have. It happened to us many years ago when our oldest son, Chris, was a toddler. Phyllis and I saved our money and bought a little car that he could get into, and it would run around on battery. He knew about it. He'd seen others. We were so grateful we could get him this little car. We put it under the tree. We were so excited. He got out. He opened that thing. He got in it and pushed his foot on the pedal, and nothing. The horn didn't even honk. I had to push him around in that car all day long. And I can tell you, when we went to the store and exchanged it for one with a battery, he was excited, and so was I. For now it would go forward and backwards, it would honk the horn, do all kinds of things. These cars sold like hotcakes. I'm telling you, it was an exciting time. Chris was so excited about this new car that he got that worked, it was just unbelievable. You see, but many are living life like this. No power. You're just pushing along without the power of God active in your life. You are in control of your life. You're making it as good as you can. Maybe wondering why others have this and others have that. Some have become satisfied that this is just my lot in life, and I'm going to suffer through it the best I can. But the reality of it is, God has created all of us. The born, the unborn, the elderly, and the challenged to do something very special. He has designed us with a unique purpose in mind. But it is only when we lay hold of his power and wait patiently for his guidance that we are able to realize our full potential. For you see, our value is in our Creator. Our circumstances in life, our strengths, looks, abilities, and so on, do not define our value. Our value is defined by our Creator, and our worth is increased as we allow him to use us. The Bible says that you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has given you a great gift in the life that you live, and every life is valuable to God. Every life is important to him. He wants for all of us to be able to experience the unfathomable riches that he has for us. He wants all of us to be able to give testimony of how God has worked in our lives when it wouldn't work for me, when my intelligence, my abilities would not work. God did it. And as we look at these heroes of faith, that's exactly what we find in the Scriptures. This is the God who values you. This is the God who values every person living and every unborn person. If you look at your scripture today, and if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of his word? He says in Jeremiah 1, 4, 5, 4 and 5a. Now this is Jeremiah who is being called And he testifies about what happened. He says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. This is the word of the Lord." And what God did for Jeremiah, he's done for each one of us. Because he knew us before we were even formed, and while we've been formed in the womb of our parents or our mother, he had a plan for our life to unfold for us, to do greater things than even Jesus has done. And the question this morning, as we close this service, the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never publicly confessed Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you, he says you're valuable. He says that you're worth me sending my very own son to the cross at Calvary, that you might have life everlasting. He loves you beyond any human love, and he wants you to know him and to experience him. He wants you to understand that he has a plan for your life, and he wants to take your gifts, your abilities, those natural things that he's given you, and he wants to explode them for the kingdom, so that you might be able to give testimony of a great and powerful God working in your life. So I invite you this morning, as we sing our hymn of invitation, that you come, take me by the hand and say, "I'd like to accept Christ as my Savior." And we will. I ask you to come this morning if you're not a member of a church. You see, Jeremiah said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And if you're not a member of a local church and you're not a kingdom builder, I invite you, when we sing the first stanza, to come down, take me by the hand, say, "Pastor, I want to join kingdom builders. I want to make a difference. I want to allow God to use me. And I know that we need you." There may be some other decision that you need to make, some forgiveness, some goal, something that you feel God is leading you to do. If you'd like to come down, and I'll pray with you about it and ask God to have his will and way in your life.